Picking up from yesterday, Moshe continues his sermon we said the last 5 weeks of his life. And Moshe said to the Jews that I want to tell you that the conquering of Eretz Yisrael is going to be basically God's efforts. He says, listen, Klal Yisrael, you are about to cross over the Yarden. You're going to come up against greater and stronger nations than you. And somehow, with miracles, with Nisim, you will conquer large, well-fortified cities. Moshe was alluding to the conquer, for example, of Jericho, where the Jews circled 7 times with shofros, and then it came down. Hashem will create tremendous miracles, such as bringing down large hailstones from heaven. And as we learned, the sun will stand still in Yehoshua's time. You are going to be apparently making efforts, but you have to realize that it's not your efforts that are causing this success. Rather, it is HaKadosh Baruch Hu acting on your behalf. And he says, I want you to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has chosen to toss the 7 nations out of Eretz Yisrael, not because of your greatness, but because they have become totally corrupt and they can't stay in this holy area any longer. And also because I made that promise to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. He says, take note for a minute that throughout your period in the desert, you had a streak of being obstinate. Right after you received the Torah, what happened? The eagle. And he goes through the story of the eagle. And he says, descending from Har Sinai, I noted the mountain was still ablaze from the fire of Matan Torah, and the Shekhinah was still there. But when I came close, I saw the revelry around the golden calf. He says, suddenly, the Luchos, which had HaKadosh Baruch Hu's 10 statements, became blank. I saw with my eyes the letters on the Luchos that Hashem had created going back up into the heaven. The impurity that you caused them to leap up into the heavens. And I decided right there to break the Luchos because you didn't deserve them. Aaron and the Sanhedrin, who could guess what I was doing, began to struggle with me. I was struggling with them. I wanted to destroy the Luchos, and they didn't. And I was stronger. I decided that you can't have the Luchos, because that would have been the formal contract between the Jewish people and the Rabbona Shel Olam, and this would be like having a ksuva, a marriage document. You would be legally married to Hashem, and now you've been unfaithful. He says, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's help, he strengthened my hand, and I was able to toss the luchos and smash them. Rabbi Friend points out that Moshe is being very dramatic here. And he's saying to the Jewish people, look, look what you caused me to do. He said, the luchos were something I received from God. And not only that, I had basically sacrificed my life for them. 40 days and 40 nights I spent in heaven without eating, without sleeping, without drinking, etc. I was totally moiser nefesh for this. And I come down and I'm disappointed. My friend says, Moshe Rabbeinu could have said, okay, I recognize that the Jewish people are no longer worthy of having these luchos. They can't have it now. However, let me go back up on the mountain, put it somewhere there, and maybe I can bring them down after they've done tshuva, after they've repented and have been forgiven, and give it to them. But as my friend says, whatever went through Moshe's mind in terms of delaying the giving of God's luchos, Moshe Rabbeinu saw the emes. He saw the truth that it's not right. These luchos cannot exist in this milieu. This people cannot have these. Their sin has been too great, and therefore, I must do something else. And as my friend points out, he says, think about it. This was probably the pinnacle of Moshe Rabbeinu's life. This is the greatest act the human being would ever do, go to heaven and get the luchos. And yet, because Moshe saw a contradiction to emes, to honesty, he broke the luchos. And as Rabbi Fran says, and we've learned it before, what was God's epitaph to Moshe? When he died, what was the thing HaKadosh Baruch Hu said? I'm just going to turn to that pasuk. The last pasuk in Chumash says, it talks about Moshe. It says, "Lachol hayad hachazaka." Moshe had was with a mighty hand. "Ulachol hamoira," and the great awe, hagadol, the great awe. Asher Otha, that Moshe did, Lifnei Kol Yisroel, in front of all of the Jewish people. According to Rashi, L'chol Hayada Chazaka means Moshe had the ability to receive the luchos from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Asher Osa Moshe, this was not about doing Nisim, but about preparing the people and the severe circumstances that would be effective in that they could basically withstand the revelation, the greatest moment in human history. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, the greatest thing you did was li'enei kol Yisroel. And what's that? Rashi says, Moshe's greatest act was breaking the first luchos at this time. This, he seems, may be odd, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he says, Asher shibarta, that you broke, he was saying, Yasher koach, Moshe Rabbeinu. You did the greatest thing by doing this. You showed, above all, that honesty must prevail in all. Now, my friend tells another story from the Gemara. Shimon Hawaksuni was someone whose life work was to explain every S in the Torah. Bereishis bara Elokim es ha-shamayim v'es ha-aretz. He said S means to include something. And I don't know how many thousands of S'em there are in the Torah, but he explained them all. And this was his magnum opus. This was his great sefer. He came to the pasuk, Es Hashem Elokecha Tira. You've got to fear God. And he said, hold on. What could I possibly equate to the fear of God? There is no duality. If I express a duality, something in that league, it's heresy. And he therefore announced that if this S showed him to be unsuccessful, then whatever else he had done would likewise not have relevance. He said, what I'm going to do now is I'm basically going to disavow all the years of work that I have. All of my translation and explanation of the word S has got to go by the wayside because it doesn't fit. If it's not MS, it goes. Again, like Moshe Rabbeinu. Rav Gifter tells the story, and I think the Gemara says it. Rabbi Akiva came, and he said, hold on. There's something else. Es Hashem Elokecha Tira means you've got to have reverence for the leaders, for the Rabbanim, for the Sanhedrin, those who teach God's Torah. And Rav Gifter says, hold on. Rabbi Akiva could make this determination. Why couldn't Shimon HaKadosh make it? He had no problem with any other S in the Torah, but this one caused him problems and he was going to abandon the mission. He says, look, he says, Rabbi Akiva saw the honesty of Shimon HaKadosh. He saw that he was prepared to toss his life's work into the heap if it didn't make sense, if it wasn't honest. When he saw that, then he understood that people such as him deserved this reverence, and therefore Rabbi Akiva could come up with this drasha. Moshe talks about how he then went and received atonement for the people, for Moshe Rabbeinu, how he destroyed Diego, how he grounded into dust and he made the people drink it, and that those who were guilty of having serviced the golden calf, having worshipped it, they basically died the same way a sota, an unfaithful wife, would die. And Moshe said, even though you saw the destruction of the Luchos and the fact that I needed to go and daven for 40 days and 40 nights, right? And I finally got atonement for you. And we know that on Yom Kippur, the second set of Luchos came down. Nonetheless, he said, we continue to journey in Tavera. Some of you complained, and Hashem had to burn people in fire. In Masa, you complained, and you doubted Hashem's presence in your midst. Kivras HaTava, the place where you lusted for lust, where you said you wanted meat, but others say what you really wanted was to be able to be free of the incestuous relationship restrictions. That's what you really wanted. He says, you've been rebellious against HaKadosh Baruch Hu as long as I have known you. I go back to Mitzrayim. There were those who told Paro, I killed that Egyptian with the Shem HaMephoresh. And then we marched and we had the sin of the Meraglim and we continued. And comes year 40, and we're about to go into Eretz Yisroel, and hold on, what happens? Cosby, Basur, and Zimri end up in the Bilam debacle, where the people commit, where there's wanton harlotry, and Pinchas has to save you. He says, I want to tell you something. You know that the second Luchos were ones that I hewed out of the stone. And it said, why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu again give Moshe Luchos as he did the first time? Why did these have to be man-carved Luchos? And were given a parable. The king discovered that his young bride was flirting with some of the courtiers in his palace. Enraged, he tore up the marriage contract and he exiled her. The matchmaker, the shadchan, came to the king and said, I understand your reaction. It's normal. But please consider who your wife was. You did not take a princess who was raised in the aristocracy. You took someone who was raised in the general society. And some of the people who affected her were servants and were not the most discerning of people. When she acted the way she did, she was merely repeating the same way she acted before she became your wife. The king, it says, took counsel, considered, and said, I'm not buying another marriage contract. He said to the matchmaker, I'll tell you what, if you write the scroll, if you write with the scribe and you bring it to me, I will remarry my wife. After the sin of the ego, Moshe said the Jewish people had merely reverted to what they had seen for so many years in Egypt, a propensity for avodah zarah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed, but for whatever reason, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was like that king, and he said to Moshe, if you are the shadchan between Klal Yisroel and myself right now, I want you to basically bring me the parchment upon which I'm going to put the luch, right, the words of the luchos again. I brought them to the Rabboni Shel Olam in heaven. HaKadosh Baruch Hu engraved them and returned them, he says, to me on Yom Kippur. I then went and took the second luchos and the broken first luchos and put them into a temporary aron, wooden ark, which Hashem had told me to do, until the time when Bezalel made the permanent Aron in the Mikdash over a month later. And then I transferred both the broken Luchos and these Luchos in to this. Moshe then juxtaposed the passing of Aaron HaKohen with the Luchos. And he wanted to tell the Jewish people that when a tzaddik, the tzaddik ador, is nifter, it's as if we again are watching the destruction of the first Luchos. That level of Kedusha is gone when that person goes. It says that when Aaron was nifter, because the clouds of glory had been given in his honor, they moved away to show you that they came in his honor. You were afraid that the king of Arad was going to come now. And you decided, oh boy, we better start retreating. He said, however, the Levium pursued you, overtook you, and they forced you to return. This was not the only time when the Levium showed their absolute devotion to Hashem. We know that when I said, Mi Lashem Eli, who was for HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the time of the golden calf, they served as the executioners. And he says, push come to shove, he said, you did mourn and you did do tshuva for the sin of the ego, even though it was the 3,000 Erev Rav who did it, because you had stood by without taking action on your own. On the 40th day, when I was up in the mountain for the third time, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me those luchos on Yom Kippur, you were forgiven. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me a command on that very day. Arise and lead the people in to Eretz Yisroel, notwithstanding whatever has gone on before. And Moshe then give the Jewish people another warning that they've got to have tremendous reverence for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yiras Shamayim. Whatever God asks is not for his sake. God does not need anything. It is only for your benefit. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created heaven and earth and the 70 nations. And he only chose the children of Avram, Yitzchak, v'Yaakov to be his holy nation. Remember, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Lord over all judges and all kings. HaKadosh Baruch Hu exhibits greatness, but also the humility in that he personally cares for widows and orphans. Remember, there is no power of the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and you're required to praise him. Even for the mere fact, and it's not a mere fact, that you have the recognition that 70 people who went down with Yaakov to Mitzrayim is now this mighty nation of millions of people. We're told the story that when the 67 war occurred and Kosel was recaptured, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky said, had the Jews only sung Shira, recognized what they had at that stage of the game, Moshiach would have come. And it's an interesting comment that we need to recognize our role, where we're going, and continually not get dismayed. Okay.